When Jesus is with us, we can keep our cool in the furnace. One thing I miss is a wood fireplace. We had one in the house where I grew up, but I have not lived in a house with one since. There is nothing quite like the smell and sound of a crackling fire on a cold night, especially in the month of December when Christmas music is filling the air. Is this helping you to feel cooler in the middle of this very hot summer? As a young person, I loved getting a fire going with newspaper and kindling, and then putting on larger logs when it got enough to burn well. And I enjoyed stoking the fire and watching the glowing embers gather at the bottom. Then later, after everything had cooled down, dropping the ashes through the trap door underneath the fireplace and collecting them later at the side of the house. One night back home, I was burning some old fence pieces and I had a rip-roaring fire going, and it was beautiful. It was great to watch. It was like a fire of all kindling. And for a teenage boy, it was fun to watch. But I didn't realize what was happening on the outside of the house. Mom and Dad came home, and they weren't upset with me, but they did ask me to let the fire down. Because Dad explained to me that sparks were coming out of the top of our chimney and landing on the roof of the neighbor's garage. So yeah, I quickly let that die down. And thankfully, nothing happened that night, but I learned an important lesson about the danger of fire and how it must always be respected. Please meet me in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 records the time when three men faced the danger of a fiery furnace. It is also a true story of how God was protecting his people through the days of the Babylonian exile. And it is also an illustration of how he takes care of us. When life is not going well, we liken our challenges to fiery trials. We've talked a lot about storms this summer, too, in our Boats for Sale series. Usually, if we're going through a problem, the way we say it is either I'm going through a storm right now or I'm going through a trial right now. And a lot of our trials in life and even in the Christian life feel like they are fiery trials. And the trials of life can either bring out the best in us or the worst in us. And when the stress heats up, it is very easy to lose our cool. Let me tell you, friends, we do not have the ability to keep our own cool in the furnace. It is God who keeps us cool as we trust in him and submit to his will. And so from the example of these three men, we will talk about four ways to keep cool in the furnace. So I would like this to be very personal to each one of you. So I would like you to think today, what is your fiery trial? What are you facing right now that is making it very difficult for you to keep your cool and making you very tempted to lose your cool? Whatever trial that is for you, I encourage you to take these 4 points and, beginning today, put them into practice and see what happens. So when you find yourself in the furnace, in the fiery trial, number one, resolve to do what is right. We just looked at a little clip of Daniel 3 to whet our appetites for the sermon that was to come. But now we're going to look at the entire chapter together through the course of this message. So let's begin at the beginning, page 1374, Daniel chapter 3, looking first at the first 7 verses. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Do you think their heart was in it? For some, it likely was. But I think most people just complied to save their lives. Most people in the land took the safe route, the easy way out. They likely heard the music and then thought to themselves, "Here we go again." But they still followed the crowd. They bowed down to worship that image. Friends, following the crowd is usually the easiest thing to do because we do not stand out. But following the crowd is not the right thing to do when the crowd is doing the wrong thing. Now, I'm going to say that again because I think that's important that we think very seriously about every part of those sentences. Every phrase. Let me say that all again. Following the crowd is usually the easiest thing to do because we don't stand out. But, and this is the part I really want you to remember, following the crowd is not the right thing to do when the crowd is doing the wrong thing. Let's look at verses 8 to 12. "At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace.' But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." Did you catch that? Some Jews that you have put in place there, O king. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Now let me ask you something. Do you think these guys really cared that three men in the empire didn't worship the gold image whenever the music would start to play? I personally don't think they really cared. I think they were envious that these three men had been promoted to prominent positions. And we learned that in Daniel 1. By the way, I had this extra Sunday because when the Boats for Sale series was done, I had one more Sunday before vacation. And so I didn't want to start a new series. I wanted a nice standalone sermon today. And so I thought this would be a good one for such a hot summer, keeping your cool in the furnace. But remember, this chapter is part of a bigger story. And so I would encourage you later to go back and read Daniel 1 to get the background that will help you appreciate what's happening here in Daniel chapter 3. And so I think some of these men, these critics, were thinking to themselves, what are these three Jewish exiles doing, holding positions that our own people should have? And they saw this as an opportunity to get rid of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for good. Well, let's continue now with verses 13 to 15. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Look at the arrogance there. King Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance to conform. Now, remember, he was the king, and they had already disobeyed him in this particular order. So he could have already had them killed. But I think he liked them. That's why he promoted them back in Daniel 1. So he gave them a second chance. Now, there's a lesson in that for us. There will be times in life when we resolve to do what is right, and some people will work on us to change our minds. It'll be family members, or it'll be friends. I'm sorry to say, in many cases, it's going to be fellow Christians. Fellow Christians who think it would just be easier and better to follow the crowd, and they're going to work on us, and they're going to sit us down, and they're going to have a serious talk. You know, "I'm really concerned about you. I really think you should just go along with what's being asked of you here." And we will be tempted to conform our actions to what everyone else is doing. And so we're going to need to stay strong in those moments and not give in to temptation. Now again, I'm not talking about things where we should be complying. You know, you work for an employer and the employer asks you to do something, and if it's in your ability to do it, and if it's not illegal or immoral what's being asked, you should do it. Absolutely, you should do it. But I'm talking about things where we are asked to do things that God has made very clear in His Word are wrong. That's what we're talking about today. And we'll need to stay strong and not give in to that temptation. Imagine for a moment that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had followed the crowd and justified it to themselves this way. You know, they could have got together as a group of three of them, and they could have come to this conclusion. They could have said, "You know what? The king can make us bow down, but he can't really make us worship in our hearts. So we'll just go ahead and bow the knee to the image, but we won't really be bowing our hearts on the inside, and he won't know that. He won't be any the wiser." Okay, they could have made that decision, and they could have avoided the furnace. But they would have missed the incredible event that's about to come in Daniel 3. They would have missed what turned out to be perhaps the greatest moment of their lives. They would have missed the opportunity to experience a new level of closeness with the Lord they'd never known before. They would have missed the opportunity to bring glory to God. And frankly, they would have missed out on a miracle. And so friends, there will be times in life when we are tempted to follow the crowd. Just go through the motions, do what everyone else is doing, but just don't enjoy doing it. And that might keep us out of some trouble. But we will lose an opportunity to glorify God. And what's worse is it will damage our testimony for Christ. So again, the message today, the outline today, is how to keep your cool in the furnace. Number one, resolve to do what's right. And that word resolve is very important, because there's going to be many times, many situations where it's not going to feel like the right thing to do. It's certainly not going to be the easy thing to do. It's not going to be even really the thing we want to do because we're scared. But we just simply need to resolve to do what's right. God comes first. He knows best. And actually that leads us to our second point. The second way that we can keep cool in the furnace is trust God to do what is best. Resolve to do what is right ourselves, but then trust God that He will do what is best. Let's look at 16, 17, and 18. And I love this paragraph. I love what they say here to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Period. Look at the amazing respect that they showed the king, as they also did back in chapter 1. They still called him by his title. They were very gracious and courteous in their words. God's people need to realize that the authorities in this world are allowed by God to be there. The Bible clarifies that. And so we need to respect the authorities and submit to their authority. But our highest allegiance should always be to Christ. So I've always explained it this way. Whatever the authorities ask you to do as a Christian, it's your duty to obey that. If and when the authorities command you to do something that goes against what God says in his word, then you obey God rather than man. But you're still submitting to the governing authorities because you're realizing the fact that some consequences may come for your non-compliance, but you're going to put God first and then the governing authorities secondly. But our highest allegiance should always be to Christ. We must always obey the law unless the law commands us to do something God says is sin. And in those cases, we must obey God rather than man and then submit to whatever the consequences are. Two things I'd like you to note here. The three men believed that God had the power to rescue them from the furnace. There was no doubt in their minds that their God was stronger than the fire. They believed he had the power to rescue them. But secondly, I'd like you to note that the three men did not know for sure what God would choose at that moment. They knew that they could possibly be going to their death, but they were ready and willing to die for God. They trusted God to do what was best in that situation. If the best thing was for them to be saved, in other words, to be rescued, he would rescue them. If their death would somehow best further his work, then he would use that fire to call them home to heaven. You know, there have been times when God has chosen not to heal someone we love and they have died. But their death has led other people perhaps to get right with God, and their legacy has multiplied. In the furnaces of life, we need to resolve to do what is right. But we also need to trust that God will do what he knows is best in our situation. And friends, really what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane needs to be our attitude every single day of our lives. Tell the Lord what your desire is, but then follow that up by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We have got to hand that steering wheel back to Almighty God. That steering wheel of our lives, we've got to hand it back to Jesus and to say, "It's yours, Lord. You take it. You drive. I trust you to do what is best." Let's look at verses 19 to 21. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace." Warren Wiersbe describes what this furnace was probably like. He wrote, "The furnace was used for smelting ore. It had a large opening at the top through which fuel and vessels full of ore could be placed into the fire, and there was a door at the bottom through which the metal was taken out. An opening in a wall enabled the smelters to check on the progress of their work, and through holes in the wall they could use bellows to make the fire blaze even more. The unit was large enough for at least 4 persons to walk around in it. It was into this furnace that Nebuchadnezzar cast the 3 faithful Jews, fully clothed and bound. It seemed like certain death for the men who refused to obey the king." What's interesting here is that the regular heat would have been enough. In fact, their death may have been a slower and more painful death had Nebuchadnezzar just stuck with the regular heat. Theoretically, of course, because we know what God's going to do. But Nebuchadnezzar was mad. And when people get mad, they tend to overreact and they go to extremes. And so he said, heat that furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And there is a good lesson in that for us. When you do resolve to do what is right, some people are not going to like it. And your situation may not get better right away. It may even get worse for a while. That is why I don't care for, you know, a lot of the name it and claim it preaching that goes on today and preaching that says, you know, you come to Jesus and the sky's going to be bluer and the grass is going to be greener and life's just going to be just wonderful. Well, yeah, it is going to be wonderful. But there's also a spiritual warfare going on. And if you choose to come to Christ, I mean, you're a part of that warfare anyway, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, but especially if you choose to come to Christ, attacks will come your way. I don't ever want to take a person who's seeking and not a Christian yet, I don't ever want to take that person and give them the idea that if you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be easy. No, I want them to know up front that there'll be times where the fire's going to get hot. When you resolve to live God's way, it will stir up the enemies of God. And the fire may get hotter before the trial is over. But I'd like you to think about this. The hotter the fire, the greater the show that God will put on. And that's what we're about to see. Look at verses 22 and 23. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot. Look at this. That the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Did you catch that? The fire was so hot that the king's men were killed just by getting too close to the furnace. And there is another lesson. It is better to be in the furnace with God than to be close to the furnace without God. Well, again, we need to resolve to do what is right. We need to trust God to do what is best. And then thirdly, we need to know that Jesus is with you. Look at verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." I've kind of thought old King Nebi must not have been that good at math, eh? He's standing there counting how many people he could see. Look at verse 25. He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Well, he was close. He was close to being right. It wasn't just a son of the gods he was seeing. It was the Son of God he was seeing. You've heard me preach about this type of thing before. This is what we call a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. It was Jesus. Jesus, before he came and took on flesh, you know, to live on this earth for 33 years, this was an appearance of Jesus himself in that furnace with those 3 men. Now, I wonder what they were doing in there. I wonder how long they were in there. I wonder what they were talking about while they were in there. Because, frankly, I think it was cool. I don't think they were suffering too much because Jesus was with them, and I think he was protecting them from those flames hurting them. They had to have been talking. Wouldn't it be great if the Bible would have told us what the conversation was? The lesson here is know that Jesus will always be with you in the fire. A few minutes ago, I told you, if you come to Christ, I can't promise that there's not going to be fiery trials. In fact, I can almost guarantee there will be. But I can also guarantee that Jesus will be with you in every single one of them. In fact, you are safer inside the furnace with Jesus than you are outside the furnace without him. Please remember that. Because sometimes we get in these fiery trials and we think, I don't like this trial, it's hot and I'm not comfortable and I just want out. But always remember, you are safer inside the furnace with Jesus than you are outside the furnace without him. And then when it's all said and done, but you don't even have to wait that long. I mean, you can, even in the middle of the furnace, you can start doing this. Point number four is to glorify God with your story. Let's look at verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Notice a change here. Notice that Nebuchadnezzar is already acknowledging the Most High God. Now, I would be tempted to say that coming out of the furnace was a command that they were happy to obey. They weren't happy to obey that command about bowing down to the image of gold, but when he commanded them to come out of the furnace, you would think that's a command they were happy to obey, but then I don't know, because they were in there with Jesus. I'm not sure I would have wanted to come out so soon, frankly. And sometimes the furnace can bring such special blessings and such closeness with the Lord, we may not want to go back to normal. Now, that might sound crazy, but I don't think it is. You know, some people have had experiences where maybe they've almost died, but then they've recovered, and their hospital stay was difficult, their recovery was difficult, but there was such a closeness with the Lord and with family and friends, and so many great and amazing things happened that then all of a sudden, when they're better and it's Monday morning and it's their first day going back to work, same old, back to the old routine, there's a part of that that's just not as exciting as maybe it used to be. So sometimes we might not want to go back to normal. But when God calls us to carry on with life, we need to be willing to do that. So we need to be willing to go through the furnace with him, but we also need to be willing to come out of the furnace when the trial is over, when the victory has been won, and to keep going, and to keep living, and to get back to normal, and to simply carry on with a daily routine of life that may not seem all that big and exciting. Let's look at verse 27. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I mean, this is phenomenal. Can only be described as a miracle of God. And really, those guys were able to glorify God at that moment just by living, just by existing, just by standing there, and they didn't stink of fire and smoke. Let the world see what God has done for you and how he has helped you. Now look at verses 28 and 29. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." Again, he's almost right there. Was his angel, the angel of the Lord, I believe, a theophany. But it was Jesus himself. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree, now listen to this, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. What a reversal. He went from saying, you don't bow down to my God, my image, you're going to be in that furnace. Now he's saying, you say anything against the God of these three men, and you're going to be in trouble. Now verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Do what is right, and God will not let you down. You will be rewarded either in this life or in heaven. Again, God could have called them home through that fire and they would have had their reward in heaven. But God in this particular case said, No. He said, no. I'm saving them. I'm rescuing. I'm taking them out of here. And they were rewarded. Again, I don't know what your trial is, what your furnace is. I don't know how that particular chapter of your life will end. But I encourage you to trust God to do what is right and know that you will be rewarded. You continue to trust Him and follow Him and obey Him. You will be rewarded either in this life or in heaven. Well, friend, are you feeling the heat of life's furnace right now? This is how to keep your cool in the furnace. Resolve to do what is right. Trust God to do what is best. Know that Jesus is with you and glorify God with your story. I'd like to close again with the words of Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and the first part of verse 3. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Friends, when Jesus is with us, we can keep our cool in the furnace. Let's pray together. I want to give you a moment for silent prayer. Father, I think we needed this today. I think you led me to this one not just because it would be a neat summertime sermon because it's about a hot furnace, but you led me to it because we just needed to be reminded that we are not alone, that you are with us and you will get us through. Father, I hope that everyone here knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, but if they don't, I pray they will do that first, that they will talk to you, repent of their sin, and invite Jesus into their lives. Because for any of this to work for us, we need Jesus in that furnace with us. If He's not in there with us, we're in big trouble. But as long as He's with us, it'll be okay. So when those trials come, when that furnace gets hot, help us to resolve to do what is right. Help us to trust you to do what is best. Help us to know that Jesus is with us. And help us to glorify you with our story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.